is that everyone would have the fourth one. That would be the pastor's heart's desire, that every person that is in the house of God and is listening would have a soiled heart, a heart that has got soil that is blackened, and not blackened, but it's pliable, and it's soft, and it's ready to hear God's Word and to do the will of God. But there is another type of soil tonight that we're going to look at, so let's stand in honor of God's Word in Mark chapter number 4, and then I'm going to go back and look at Matthew 13 here in just a second, but just notice with me in verse number 7, without me going back and reading the whole, the sower went forth to sow, but verse number 7 will show us the third type, and it says this, and some fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Now, when we say thorns, it's also the idea that we understand maybe in the Ozark, we would understand the word weeds. Everybody understand the word weeds? That's the same idea as thorns. These are like weeds. And weeds actually choke out and take the nourishment of the soil so that there can be no fruit. So what does this mean? We'll drop down to verse number 18, and we'll get, and then Jesus will explain it to us. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it become unfruitful. I believe we as American Christians probably, if we're going to say that this would affect a Christian, this would be the one. And we know that we're talking about salvation, and we know what Jesus said about the riches. He said that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And his disciples got all nervous about this and said, who then can be saved? And God said, and Jesus said, with God nothing is impossible. He's not saying it's not impossible, but I'm telling you, people who have the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches don't think they need God. And here's the problem. They're weeds. And they don't even know it. They're growing weeds instead of spiritual fruit. So let's pray tonight and preach on the corrupt soil. The corrupt soil tonight. Lord, help us as we look at this third soil. We saw the stony ground and we saw the hard ground. And now we see the corrupt ground. The one that is more weeds than it is anything else. And the thorns and the cares of the world and the lust of other things and just other things besides God, church, and the Lord Jesus Christ, those things get crowded out. And people begin to think those things of the world are more important. And it causes them not to be saved by God's grace. And it causes God's people to be backslidden in many ways. God, help us tonight as we look at this third type of soil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, it'll be exciting. You may be seated. In a couple of weeks, next week we'll be in our outdoor meeting. The week after that, I'm going to be preaching chapel at Heartland. We'll miss that Wednesday night. But the next Wednesday night, we're going to fling her down on the good soil because that's what we all need. But let's stay within the boundaries of where we're at tonight. And let me make some opening comments and then look at what Jesus said in Matthew 13. So if you want to look there, because in the middle of giving the parable and explaining the parable, it was in this particular parable that disciples said, Lord, why are you using parables? What is the deal about the parables? And Jesus would say, basically would say in chapter 13 and verse 16, he would say this, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. So every person that is a child of God, been saved by the grace of God, is able to understand the Word of God. Listen, we have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God that lives within us to illuminate our minds to the truth of God's Word. Don't ever underestimate the power of the Spirit of God in your life. He will keep you from things that you should not do. He will tell you don't go in that direction. He is the Spirit of God. He lives within us and He can help us when we read the Bible. People sometimes say, I didn't understand that. Don't be so much concerned about what you don't understand as you are about what you do understand. Because I've read through the Bible, I don't know how many times, and there'll be times that God will give me at that time exactly what I need, and I may even say in my flesh, wow, I know that's there, I know I've read that, but God has brought it to the forefront. He's brought it up out of the page, so to speak, to make it real in my life for that time. At that time. But so God said, listen, I'm not preaching, I am preaching. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. But when it comes to discipleship, these people, and especially in His day, the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. Jesus spoke in parables so His disciples would understand what they would say. I cannot preach to those who do not want to listen. But I certainly can preach to those who do want to listen to the Word of God. So basically Jesus said, blessed are your eyes and blessed are you that see and you that hear, because God's people can understand the things of God. Because they have, He has given it to us. He's given us the Word of God. And I want you to understand, if you go to verse number 51 in that same chapter of Matthew chapter 13 in verse 51, Jesus said, have you understood these things that I've said? And they said, yea, Lord. They did. They understood. So just like us tonight, we need to understand that there are different types of hearts out there. There are different types of hearts that are going to be setting in any one church service. But what we want is hearts that are ready to hear. But if they're not ready to hear, they either have a hard heart, a stony heart, or a corrupted heart. And when you have a stony heart, a hard heart, or a corrupted heart, you're never going to be fruitful. You're never going to bring forth fruit in your own life whatsoever. And it wasn't because, and it's not because God's people are any smarter. And Jesus was saying, it's not that you're any smarter than the unbelieving Jews and the Pharisees and the scribes. In fact, they were the ones that were highly educated, had supposed to have been studying the Scriptures diligently since their youth, but their eyes were blinded to the truth of what Jesus Christ was trying to teach them. And the reason they couldn't hear is because they did not believe. Jesus gave them the words of life. Jesus performed the miracles to show that He had the words of life. He raised the dead. He did all those miracles to authenticate He is the Word of God. Amen. And they should have listened. And so I'm just saying to you tonight, I am not going to be a pastor that's going to argue about all of these issues of the day, like Calvinism and King James. I will tell you the truth. We have the Bible. We are Baptists. We've always been Baptists. We are Baptists with capital B's. We are independent Baptists. We're premillennial Baptists. We are King James only Baptists. We are mission-minded Baptists. We believe in the Great Commission. We believe in talking to people about their lost soul. We are people who are not Calvinists, and we are not Arminian. We are Baptists. For whosoever will may come. And I am just tired of all of the nonsense of going on among Christians today. No, listen, we're an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church. Amen. And that's what we've been. That's what we'll continue to be. Amen. And I'm just telling you, and pray for this church that in 10 years from now or 15 years from now, we're not going to do anything else. Amen. And I'm just telling you, it wasn't because that these disciples that Jesus was teaching were more educated. No, they were less educated. But I'd rather be less educated and believe the Bible than to be highly educated and think I know everything. Because I don't know everything. But part of the Lord's ministry was to give an understanding of His Word to those who trusted Him. And in this account that we just read in Mark, Jesus said that He expounded those things unto Him. That's why we come to church, to have the Word of God expounded to us. So now, with all that off my chest, and well, it's really why He said He was doing it. And by the way, He said that between the two between the telling the parable and explaining the parable. So we've already known from the previous messages that the soil is the heart and that the seed is the Word of God and that the sower of the seed is Jesus Christ. And the application that we make today is those that preach the Word of God, or when you read the Word of God, you are reading the seed and you're reading the Word of God. It is the seed and it must be planted in the heart. And when it's planted in the heart and the heart is right with God, guess what? It'll bring forth fruit. It'll bring forth fruit in your life. It'll cause you to change. It'll cause you to draw closer to the Lord. It will cause you to have fellowship with God. It will cause you to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. It will cause you to want to do spiritual things. It will cause you to be excited about reading your Bible and seeing what the story is going to be next and what does God have to say. You say, well, what about Ezekiel? Just read what? Just read it. And you'll read about them eyes and them wheels and them wheels and them eyes. But just keep reading it. The Lord will help you. Somebody say amen. Amen. So tonight we're going to sow seed. Sunday morning when we have Sunday school, we're going to sow the seed. When we have preaching on Sunday morning, we're going to sow the seed. Brother Nance is bringing seed with him and he's going to sow that seed and he's going to expound the Word of God. And we need to make sure that our hearts are ready to hear what God says. Amen. So it can be planted in good soil. So, the first heart was hard, the second heart was shallow, and tonight we see a heart that is, I call it corrupt, and I also say that it is a worldly heart. And oh my, what an application that can be made in the day in which we live. Folks, we are prone to wonder. We are prone to worldliness. We are prone to the things of the world. We are prone that if we're not careful, that the things of the world and the cares of the world and the riches of the world will enter into our soil, into our heart, and it will choke what God wants to do spiritually. The word translated thorns in our text tonight in Mark chapter number 4 is the word a thorn bush. It's the idea of a thorn bush. And that means that if you look at it, and if you look at the word, it's, and by the way, verse number 7, it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up. Now, thorns is plural. So it's not just one thorn, it's thorns, like a thorny bush. And it's, when you see something plural there, it's like, it's the same idea in the Ozarks as weeds. Now, here's what I found out about weeds. If you don't control weeds, they will take over quickly. If whether it's a garden, flower garden, whether it's a stone garden. I got a stone garden. And I still have to manage the weeds on a weekly basis. But my dad, of course, he would... I remember one time, my dad was a... I mean, he was a serious, serious home garden person. He was serious about his garden. I'm going to guess that, you know, people have a garden in their backyard. Our backyard was about 5 acres, and at least 2 acres of that yard was a garden. So I'm telling you, my dad, well, it wasn't just a little bitty, we're going to have some carrots and potatoes. No, no. You go to my dad's, you go to my dad's place, and there's a cellar under his house. And probably still to this day, there's hundreds of thousands of hundreds, I'm being exact, of cans of everything. I guess my dad grew up in the Depression and he was just afraid ain't never going to be hungry again. Cans of corn, he canned corn. And it was awesome too. But I grew up in that. And I was abused as a child. I was terribly abused. Because my dad's passion was a garden doesn't mean my passion was a garden. And I can tell you, ever since I left home, I've never had a garden because I had my fill of it for about 14 years or whatever it was. But my dad was still, and even after we left, after the boys were gone, he still had a garden. He still worked in it. But I do remember that we took a trip to Lubbock, Texas. And so there was this beautiful garden. And everything was perfect because there's no weeds in that garden at all, except for that about 10 days we were gone. When we got back, I thought we were going to have a heart attack. Because guess what I was going to be doing for the next 4 days? Taking all of those weeds out of the garden. So my dad had this garden. He would always make sure that the soil And by the way, if you ever want to make kids do something, make them pick up rocks out of the garden. Because over the years, you just keep toiling, tilling the soil, taking the rocks out, getting it better. But I'm telling you, you go away for a 10-day vacation, when you get back, you'll have weeds. And weeds have to be controlled. Now, are you getting the idea of what I'm saying here? The worldliness and the attitudes and the deceitfulness of this world and the attitude of wanting more, that will get into your soil. And it will choke the Word of God if you're not careful. That's why it's always going to be stressed. Read your Bible every day. Now, there's going to be days where you like something came up, had to make an emergency trip, you had to do this, and you didn't get to read your Bible that day. You better be careful, because if you're not careful, weeds grow just like that. And thorn is the same idea. And if you don't control that, that's why I said, you don't trust yourself, trust the Word of God. When it comes to the gospel, now I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the gospel, the person that has his kind of soil, hears the Word of God, can even make a token of profession of faith, but the problem is his first love is the things of the world. He's preoccupied with worry. He is blinded about the importance of the gospel. He is blinded about the importance of spiritual things and eternal things. And folks, as God's people, if we're going to be disciples, spiritual things are number one. Doesn't mean you don't have to work, pay your bills. No, you have to do all that and you have to be a good Christian. But if you're not careful, if you love the riches and you live for the other things and desires, you will become oblivious to the deceitfulness and the inability to satisfy the heart. You will begin to think like the world thinks, and this is how the world thinks. If I can just get the next thing, if I can just get another raise, if I can get another job, if I can climb the ladder, if I can just get that car, if I could get a better house or bigger house or this or that. And there's nothing wrong with those things, except that if that's all you pursue, you'll leave out spiritual things. Coming to church won't be the most important thing. Reading your Bible won't be the most important thing. Being spiritual and worshiping the Lord will not be the most important thing. Spending time with God in prayer will certainly not be the most important thing. And so the heart that is corrupt, the heart that is worldly, does not notice that he's being deceived by the world. As the world chokes the Word, his attention becomes on possessions or prestige or position or worldly things. He's not even aware of what he once had. And you know, we call this, now listen, if we're a Christian, we can call this backsliding. And it doesn't take much for us to backslide. And it doesn't matter who we are. I said, it doesn't matter who we are. Because the thorns, by the way, let me just tell you this. Did you know those weeds, they're there. They're just waiting to come up. They're just waiting to come up. The thorns are in the ground. And if a weed or a thorn has not been purged, guess what? The soil is corrupt. And thorns will attack the Word of God and choke it from being effective. So look at a couple of things. Look at verse number 4. Look at this. It says, And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, and it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And look at this. And it yielded no fruit. Verse number 19, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the Word, and it become unfruitful. The word choked means exactly that. Cut it off. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of the things entered in choke the Word, and it became unfruitful. It didn't bring forth fruit. It choked it out. Here's the idea, and here's the truth that everybody knows, that if you've ever had a garden, thorns grow faster than good seed. Thorns grow faster than weeds grow faster than good seed. And when that happens, it crowds out the fruit. Now, think about this. Sin is aggressive. Weeds need no special care for growth. I mean, you don't have to do anything to grow a weed. It'll be there. Just yesterday, I mean, I haven't mowed my grass since Thursday, coming up on a week. I was opening up the looking out there, you know, make sure that the water my yard, everything was good. And then they came by and they messed up my yard. I don't like it because they had to put a line through for a cable. And I'm like, whoo, what? Somebody messed up my yard. So I'm out there trying to fluff my yard up. But I looked out there in the rock flower garden and there's two weeds sticking up. It's not even been a week. It's like you got to go out there every day and pull out the weeds. Sin is aggressive. Luke chapter 8 and verse 7 says, here's the way it says there, that they sprang up with the seed. The way by which weeds choke out the good is by allowing them to coexist. Remember the garden that I came back from Lubbock, Texas? And there they were. There's the green beans and the weeds. There's the corn and the weeds. There's the whatever it is in the weeds. And they're just, and you know what they're trying to do? They're growing together and they're trying to take over. And they're aggressive. That's the way sin is. Coexisting. You know, you think about, I go back to history. You go back to the 1940s, and there was talk about communism and nationalism. And the communists talked about coexisting with the nationalist government in China. But look who's ruling it today. It's the communists. The sodomite crowd pleads to be accepted as normal. But once they ever outnumber somebody, the weeds will take over. The weeds are taking over. And by the way, that's not a normal lifestyle. You can pound it into people's heads. You can put it on the media, but that is deviant lifestyle. Period. Brother Abels, you better be careful. No, sir. That's what the Bible says. Now, how do I know? How do I know that they will not accept? How do I know that they will try to override? I'll tell you why. I've read Genesis 19 several times. And when churches try to coexist or attract the world and carnal programs, that's what will take over. Don't let it in. Don't elect carnality in the church. Because once you do that, the preaching of God's Word will become a bystander and everything else will be, you know, ask somebody to come to a preaching service. Well, you know, I'm busy. Yeah, but ask somebody to come to a singing service. Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Well, but you tell somebody, now you come to our church, man, our preacher will preach for over an hour. What? I don't want that. You tell them we're going to have a singing for an hour and a half. Oh, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. Folks, that's carnal. That's right. Now, music is good. And music is to be right. But music is not to take over. You see, the Word of God, choked, is a term of destruction. Choked has the idea of killing. Choked has the idea of depart. Choked has the idea of a reversal. Choked has the idea of killing. When somebody chokes you, they're trying to kill you. The thorns, you know, here, listen to this. Weeds will take nourishment from the ground that is actually needed for the seed to grow. They will take the nourishment from the ground. They will overtake it. And no, you got to go in there. And what are you talking about? I'm saying we gotta pluck out the weeds of our heart every day. And so the thorns take the nourishment from the ground, and the seed becomes starved and choked, and it dies, and it will not bear fruit. Now, if we spend all of our energy, emotion, time, and money on the thorns, there ain't gonna be much left for the seed. And you know what? People are attached to weeds many times more than they're attached to seeds. But you know what? You'll never eat. There is no thorn or weed you'll ever eat. But man, the fruit of the seed is very good, especially corn. I'm telling you, we're going to eat corn on the cob in heaven. That's all there is to it. And there's going to be lots of butter on it, and there's going to be lots of salt on it. and then you're just going to eat it. And my wife says, it's all over you. Hey, listen, we're in our house. We don't have no kids no more. We don't have to have manners. Stay out of my way. This is my enjoying the fruit of corn. And just dig into it, man. And so what is if it's all over your place? You can eat that later on in the night. When you get hungry. Kind of. And if you got a beard like my dad did, man, when he went in, it was awesome. And there was like things all like corn down in there, you know. Stuff like that, you know, stuff like that. It's awesome. Corn. Corn, corn, corn. Sin has a desire to drain away our energy, and there's nothing left for God. Thorns are plural. They work together to kill the seed. They take over. Do you know what the thorns are? Well, we don't even have to ask. God tells us. It's the cares of the world. It's the deceitfulness of riches. And it's the lust of other things. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, it says, cares, riches, and pleasures. I saw one commentator put it like this, and I wrote this down. Worries, wealth, and wantonness. So, listen. The devil wants you to worry yourself to death. He wants you to worry about everything. And that's the cares of this world. Do you know that we're checking out of here one day? Do you know that the Lord is coming back? Now, the difference between God's people and the world, they don't have anything to look forward to. But we do. But the cares of this world, they can be a legitimate concern in life. Listen, there are legitimate concerns of life, but here's, I hope you get it, it cannot dominate your life. You'll be paralyzed. You will not do anything spiritual. You will be paralyzed. And I'm telling you, don't be paralyzed by the cares of this world. Yet so many people get involved in the cares of the world. What happens is they'll choke out church, they'll choke out Bible, they'll choke out prayer, they'll choke out everything. And instead of all their time is consumed by the cares of this world, how about casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I'm not minimizing any care of this world, but I am saying that it cannot dominate our life. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Added unto you means God will take care of your daily cares when you seek His interest first. Then second of all, there's the problem of wealth. In the parable, Jesus said, deceitfulness of riches. Many people are deceived into thinking, if I could just have a little bit more, I'll be a little bit happier. But what we really need is to be content with what God has given us. God has blessed us beyond measure. And it doesn't mean that we should not prepare for the future. It does not mean that we should not put away for, but we should not be totally consumed about it, that's all we think about. I tell you, I remember a couple of years ago, I went through a little thing, and God had to show me, hey, I took care of you then. I've taken care of you way back then. I've taken care of you now. I reckon I can take care of your future. And you know what I had to say? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Many people are deceived into thinking that riches is the answer, and it's not. You go back and read about Depression, when the stock market totally crashed. People were jumping out of buildings to their death because they lost it all. If you lose it all, you ain't lost it all if you're a child of God. You hadn't lost it all. Listen, there's no stock market crash that can cause you to lose your salvation. But I'm telling you, you bump into people every day. That's all they think about. And then third, there's the problem of wantonness. Happiness and wealth have nothing to do with each other. You can have hardly anything and be the happiest person on the face of the earth. The soil that is corrupt will never be able to bear fruit. Now think about this. I want you to listen. Every person's life is very precious. And we only have one life to live. And you can serve others with your life, or you can allow the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the problems and all the stuff that's in the world to corrupt your soil, and you'll never bring forth fruit. Hey, don't let corrupt soil enter into your life. Pull the weeds every day. Check your heart every day. Every day. Because if you don't, time goes by and you're away from God. And before you know it, everything's been choked out. I don't want to stop tonight unless I want you to see this. Back in Mark, verse number 8. Because this is what we're going to look at. This is what we all need tonight. See, some seed fell on the stony ground. Some fell on the hard ground. Some fell on the soil that was worldly. But verse 8 said, another fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth 40, forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. Our hearts can be right with the Lord tonight, and we can bring forth fruit. That's a disciple of Jesus Christ. Be careful about the soil. Now, the Word of God doesn't change. It's the heart that is the problem. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed.